From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has just begun a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Song of Confidence. The text is Psalm 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Wretched walking in the midst of trouble? Nay, blessed walking, since there is a special promise for it. Give me a promise, and what is the trouble? What doth my Lord teach me here to say? Why this, Thou wilt revive me. I shall have more life, more energy, more faith. Is it not often so that trouble revives us, like a breath of cold air when one is ready to faint? How angry are my enemies, and especially the arch-enemy! Shall I stretch forth my hand and fight my foes? No, my hand is better employed in doing service for my Lord. Besides, there is no need, for my God will use His far-reaching arm, and He will deal with them far better than I could if I were to try. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He will, with His own right hand of power and wisdom, save me. And what more can I desire? Come, my heart, talk this promise over to thyself, till thou canst use it as the song of thy confidence, the solace of thy holiness. Pray to be revived thyself, and leave the rest with the Lord, who performeth all things for thee.
Shall be forever.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at His Baptism, the second in this series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that by the heavenly dove settling upon Christ, God the Father established the Savior's credentials as the Son of God and the only one who could save sinners. Next, the sending of the Spirit equipped Christ for that service, the ministry into which he was about to enter. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the members of the Holy Trinity always operate together. The Father sent the Son. The Son carried out his ministry through the power of the Spirit. This reminds us that no man can serve God apart from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at His Baptism.
Jesus said, you must be born again. He was saying, you must be born. You need to be born of the Spirit. I pointed out this coming of the Holy Ghost upon Christ. While it was certainly not a regeneration, it was a baptism of water and then of the Spirit. And regeneration in a Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 is called being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. So there is a very close similarity here. Make sure today that you know what it is to be in Christ. Make sure that you have more than a religion of externals. Make sure that you have more than church. Make sure that you have more than profession. Make sure that you are born of God. That's the important thing. For this is how God identifies His sons. If we're saved, do we not also profess to be His servants? Well, how does God identify His true servants? We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, the words of the Lord Jesus to His disciples, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And a few verses later, He promised, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. How does God identify His true servants? By the ministry and the power of the Spirit of God. That's how He does it. You can do many things without the Holy Ghost. I've often quoted the words of Georgie Vins when he came from Russian persecution to American prosperity. Said he was amazed at how much the church in America was able to do without the Holy Ghost. You can build cathedral churches without the Holy Spirit. You can gather 10,000 people without the Holy Spirit. You can have a great orchestra without the Holy Spirit, a glorious choir without the Holy Spirit. You can have a very talented motivational preacher without the Holy Spirit. Paul warned preachers about this. This is something that every preacher should live in constant fear of. And I have to confess, the older I get, the scarier this text gets for me. The nearer I get to the judgment day, the more solemn this text gets to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he warned preachers. Now I know that preachers like to make this text applicable to their congregation. And no doubt it has an application to the congregation. But I think that's just a cop-out for the preacher. For it wasn't written to the congregation, it was written to the preachers. Paul wrote to those who were following him in the ministry. He says, I have laid the foundation. Now you take good care how you build upon that foundation. Take very good care. Because there's a day coming when you're going to stand before God and your works will be made manifest. And they're either going to be gold, silver, and precious stones, or they're going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And if they're wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be burned up. And you'll be saved so as by fire, saved by the skin of your teeth, saved, but your entire life work lying in ashes. It's a warning to preachers. And the warning is, you can build without the Holy Ghost. You can spend a lifetime as a professed minister of Jesus Christ and at the end of it have nothing spiritual that will stand the test of the judgment day. It's a text for preachers. It's a text that constantly haunts me. Of all these 40 years, what is there that's going to stand the test? I can't boast of the number of people I have brought into the church, because if they go to hell, I have nothing. Can't boast of buildings, for they'll burn up too. That's why God identifies His true servants by a genuine outpouring and operation of His gracious Holy Spirit, saving souls, producing spiritual fruit, drawing people close to Christ, building them up in their most holy faith. Those are the actions of the Spirit of God. Those are the things that identify the true servant of God, as they did our Savior. So descending on Christ, the Holy Ghost identified him as the Son of God. Second thing he did was he equipped him for service. Now that raises a huge question. The question is, why did the Lord Jesus Christ need the Holy Ghost to equip him for service? Was Christ not God, manifested in flesh? As God, did he not personally have all power? So, if he is God, as he is, if as God he has all power, as he has, why did he need the Holy Spirit to come and fill him with power? I think that there's a divine principle that runs through the Word of God, and it's working here. God is a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the entire Trinity always operates in the work of redemption. And as I understand Scripture, the Father never has ever revealed himself to a creature, angel or man. He has never revealed himself to a creature except through his Son. Keep that in mind. And I don't want to digress here. Let that be your basic understanding whereby you critique every religious claim made by men in this world. We are told by the Muslims that God revealed himself directly to Muhammad. I know it's a lie for many reasons, but for one outstanding reason, God never reveals himself to a creature except through the mediation of his Son. Muhammad denied the sonship of Christ. You can take every other religious claim in the world. Let that be the understanding whereby you judge them. God never reveals himself apart from his Son. But I think it's equally clear that the Son never imparts his grace apart from the Holy Ghost. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit who prepares and who enables the human heart to receive Christ and to benefit from the grace of Christ, to receive and know the blessing of the designs and the deeds of God on behalf of men. So the grace of Christ never comes to any man without the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord Jesus was a true man. He had a true human nature. And that human nature, interestingly, was produced by the operation of the Holy Spirit from the substance of the Virgin Mary. So, it was by the Holy Ghost that the humanity of Christ was created in order to live in union with the eternal Son of God. So, by the Holy Ghost, that humanity was fitted to receive all the gifts and all the graces needed for Christ's ministry here upon the earth. You see, even in this, it behoved Christ, as Paul puts it, to be made like unto his brethren. For it is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we receive God's gifts and graces. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we are equipped to serve the Lord. That's why Christ, as our representative, as our Savior, Christ in his humiliation, received the power of the Spirit. For what? To overcome Satan, for a start. You go on and read about the temptations and the victory Christ got. He got it by the power of the Spirit of God. And then after the temptations, as we have read in Luke chapter 4, how he went out, and in the power of the Spirit, he began to minister. So the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, and he gave him victory as a man over Satan, and then he made him successful in the work for which God had sent him. Now, there's a message that will come to you and me if we're ever going to serve Christ. You see, while we're in this world, understand there are two great items that we're always going to have to face as Christians. Number one, the temptation of the devil. If you really aren't too much troubled by the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's probably because your conscience has become desensitized and because you're really not doing much for God at all. If the devil doesn't have to bother much with any of us, then it's because he's not too worried about us. It's not because he's gone on strike or because he's not interested. We're going to have to face the devil. We're going to have to face temptation. We're going to have to struggle with the impulsions and compulsions to sin. Now, every Christian has to face those. The second thing we have to face is the matter of serving Christ and doing so successfully. I have never met a Christian yet who's really satisfied with his success rate in the service of God. I remember in the 1960s in Ulster when our churches were in great blessing and every man's hand was against us, but we were seeing new churches opened up all over the country and hundreds of people were being saved. It was the nearest thing that we have ever seen to revival in the 1960s and the early 1970s. We used to have American preachers come over, and they were walking 10 feet tall. They had never been in prayer meetings like these before. They had never felt the presence of God like this before. And they said, this is revival. But in those very prayer meetings, I remember days of prayer and nights of prayer and times of special prayer where ministers and elders would get together to seek God. And we were crying to God because of our lack of success in the work of the ministry. So I've never met anybody, even in times of blessing, who's satisfied with his success or success rate in the work of God. So these are two constant elements. Sanctification, struggling with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and service, and how to succeed in it. And here's where we can learn from the Savior. First of all, the only way to overcome sin and Satan is by the power of the Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of holiness, or the Spirit of sanctification. Second, the only way to serve God with success is by the power of the Spirit of God. There is such a thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost for the service of God. Now watch carefully. When was Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost? At his baptism. Remember, we looked at the significance of that last Sabbath morning? The Lord Jesus at that time was committing himself to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, he was in the place of obedience. One of the biggest obstacles to Christians enjoying the power of the Spirit of God in their lives, both in their struggle with the devil and the flesh and the world, and in their desire to serve the Lord, one of the biggest obstacles is simply sin. You're not going to make God bless your sin. Disobedience to God our greatest obstacle in having the blessing of the Holy Ghost on our service.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.